End with prayer. Father God, thank you for another evening, an opportunity to focus, study your word. Send your Holy Spirit into our midst and occupy our minds. Illuminate for us the truths from your holy book. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Why bad things happen to good people? I try to make it a much tidier topic than some of the words that I hear kids use these days for things that just think in life that seem to occur. And obviously, you can think of, murders that take place or accidents. As I drove to work today, my travels during the day, I saw at least one accident. I want to believe that the persons involved never dreamed that they would. Why? Why? There's so many instances where we say, why me? Why did this happen to me? Others in which we say, why didn't God intervene? Hence the question, why do bad things happen to good people? By the very structure of the question is where I take my start. And the first thing is that I think we have to clarify the question, okay? Because it could mean two things. If you listen carefully, it assumes God's existence. When people say, I know there's a God, but I want to understand, is God good? And if he's good, then why do bad things happen to good people? Another view of the same question, why do bad things happen to good people, could mean, I'm not sure that God exists. And that's a completely different question. The question of God's existence has nothing to do with the issue of suffering. It has to do with creation and so forth. So we should be clear that the question we're dealing with now is not that God exists, it's why do bad things happen to good people. Everybody with me?
Uh-huh.
And the next thing that I would do is start out by defining, well, what are bad things? What do you think are bad things? I mean, it's the obvious. I use the idea of murder or an accident. Are there any others? What would you list under these bad things that happen to you?
Your parents are not listed, and your loved ones die, and things that
need. Yeah.
Bad things for me would be, it may be, it may not be that bad thing for you, but for me, like still in the car, that's really bad for me. Not getting the job that I thought I deserved,
mm-hmm.
That I went to interview for, that's bad things for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would say it's when you have that person who you know is doing the wrong thing, and you know is cheating the system, but yet he's prospering while you're suffering.
It sounds like one of the Psalms where David says, Lord, the wicked are prospering. And it's an interesting, that's a very interesting theme, especially in Christianity, because the concept of God looking to punish, is produced. That bad things occur to people who are doing bad things. In other words, if you're good, then bad things won't happen to you. But by the very question, we recognize that we don't agree with that. That bad things do happen to people. And John, you just listed the antithesis of that, and that is good things happen to bad people, too. Well, if you look at Scripture, it seems that we lay most, Scripture lays most, if not all, of what happens that is quote-unquote bad on Satan or the devil. And that everything bad is a result of sin. Is there any argument on that?
No.
Definitely not.
Okay. And we agree that Satan was the originator of sin.
Uh-huh.
Or did God create evil?
He created Satan.
Well, I don't believe he created Satan. I believe that he created Lucifer. And I think that there's a difference. Lucifer created Satan, but God created Lucifer. Meaning that because we have the freedom of choice, and we can choose what path we want to go down, in a way, we're responsible for our own actions, because God doesn't cause us to make the choices that we make.
So God did not create evil. Did evil was a choice.
Exactly.
You'll recall in 1 John 3:8, it says the devil sinneth from the beginning. That old serpent called the devil and Satan in Revelation 12:9. He is the originator of sin. In particular, what was his sin? Well, it goes back to the other question that I begged. Did God create evil? John answered correctly in that God created Lucifer, whose name was later Satan and the devil. By the way, what does Satan mean?
Adversary.
The accuser. Remember, the accuser of the brethren, or adversary, is correct? And what does the devil mean? One is the accuser.
Wow, I'm thinking, I'm trying to search the memory banks on that one.
That one. I'm going to let you guys think on that one.
Okay. Oh, I think I remember. I'll let somebody else get a chance, though.
All right. What happened for God creates Lucifer? Who was Lucifer?
He was the second in command.
Was what, Natalie?
He was in charge of music.
He was third in line. Clearly, Scripture says that he was one of the covering cherubs. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Ezekiel 28:14. And God created him, yes, as he created all of the angels. And
hey, how are you?
Hello,
this is Joseph Williams.
I'm Tennessee James.
Welcome, Tennessee. Pleased to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
There's also Natalie and Sophia.
Hi, Tennessee.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
We actually just begun, Tennessee, on talking about why do bad things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come to the point of acknowledging that everything that happens that's bad is a result of sin. And so we are just going over where sin originated. And we asked the question, did God create evil? Did he create sin? And we answered no. That God created, he didn't create Satan, he created Lucifer.
Right.
And that's where we are. We're describing and defining who Lucifer was. And Ezekiel 28:14 says that thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. if you remember, all of them, everybody's familiar with the Ark?
Yeah.
And there was an angel on the right side of that throne, of that mercy seat, or in heaven on one side of the throne, and another on the left, and their wings touched, they were the covering cherubs. And so they were privy to the council that took place between God, Father and Son. And Lucifer was there, and there was no one save God, Jesus, who were as superior to Lucifer. And what happened in Lucifer's life that led him to sin? Now, it's back in...
Good question.
Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Ezekiel 28:17. For me, in modern day terms, Satan looked in the mirror one day and said, "Man, I'm beautiful. I am real beautiful." And I got it going on. As you said, Natalie, I got this voice thing. I've got, you know, some people really believe that he was able to, he was an incredible musician.
Right.
And among other things, but he was physically brighter in appearance. Obviously beautiful, handsome, if you want to call it. And that made him, I guess we would call it today, jealous of God. He decided he ought to be equal or superior. That famous text in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. "For thou hast said in thine heart," speaking of Satan or Lucifer, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." That was his thing. He decided that he wanted to be higher on the totem pole than he already was. And what he coveted most was worship. So that Satan wanted to be worshipped by all the heavenly hosts as he saw that God was worshipped. If you remember the temptation that Satan did to Jesus, how he tempted Jesus in the wilderness just before the beginning of his earthly ministry, and those temptations were about worship. If you bow down to me, I'll give you this, and so forth. And it started in heaven with him wanting to be worshipped.
That's something.
That is where sin began. Now, how does this tie in? Well, the first thing that was difficult and some bad that happened to good people is everything that God had created was perfect, including Lucifer. All of a sudden, the sin originates in him. And what does he do? He immediately... he has a platform. Think of him as a politician, if you will. And he goes to the angel. Now, if he was the leader of the angel, he obviously had influence. And he presents his case to them. And his case was, you know, God's unfair. And we don't need laws. We don't need rules. We're perfect. God needs to listen to our ideas. We think he's getting old, if you will. And Scripture says that he was able to influence one-third of all of the angels in heaven. So the very first bad thing that occurred was good people, other angels, became infected with Satan. And they agreed with him. They were persuaded by him. War broke out in heaven over him. And in Revelation, it tells us that Satan was expelled from heaven. He and those third of the angels that went along with him. And where did he end up? When he left heaven?
Right here on earth.
Right here.
And what's pretty interesting about that is that we see for the first time that beings without sin, good people, quote-unquote, can be affected by the results of sin.
I'll tell you a story. And it's a story that goes this way. In Florida, in the house in Florida, someone said, you know, you need to watch out for termites. You need a termite inspection. Perfect. And about a year later, saw a bug on the wall and lifted the board on the, like one of the, like vinyl signs that it was wood, and lifted it, and underneath that looked like Swiss cheese. The termites had been eating away underneath the board. They had crawled up under the board so that the top board was no problem, looked great. And if nothing had been done, of course all the shingles had to come off and thousands of dollars spent to get treated. If nothing had been done, that house would have fallen down one day, eaten by termites.
Ouch.
Now, here's the analogy. We prepare as Christians for Satan. We're on the lookout for him when it comes to big things. If Satan were to say to you, go cheat on the next exam, so you'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to study. I'm going to earn my grade. If he told us to go slap or shoot the person that we to cut us off in traffic. No, I'm not going to do that. But if Satan told us you're too tired to go to church because you've worked hard all week and you deserve a rest, and we give in to that, it begins to lead to other things. He's interrupted something that God desires, which is that his church or his people would meet together to worship him. And our absence is significant, not insignificant. But Satan would make it seem as though it was insignificant. Another example. Why is it important to watch out what you look at, what you read, for all of those reasons? If you fill your head with stuff that is not constructive, then one day you will discover you have no patience for things that are of eternal value to us, like reading scripture. If all you read are rusty novels, one day you'll be tired of reading the Bible. It'll be very boring. And so Satan tempts Christians in the same way. Comes at us like termites, not like a herd of elephants or a pack of leopards. You get my meaning? All right. Moving along. Now, John touched on the other reason that bad things happen to good people. Believe it or not, is because we were created in God's image. How are we created in God's image? What, do we look like God physically? What is it that means that we are created in God's image? How do we know?
I would say it's character, first of all.
Anybody? Natalie, I'm picking on you. How do we know that we are created in God's image? And what is the image that we're created? Physical looks?
I think it's beyond physical and spiritual, to a certain degree.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that it's just physical.
Okay.
I think it goes into a spiritual sense, also his character. And I think the character is one of the most important. And that is the thing that we are lacking today that makes us the most unlike God, even though we were originally created in his image.
One of the things that puts us in his image that I'm thinking of is choice. Remember what Satan's temptation was to Eve and to Adam, especially Eve? He uses the serpent and he says to Eve, if you eat this fruit, what? What did he say, Sophia? What did he promise Eve?
That she would be like God.
Exactly.
She would not die.
She would not die, that she would be like God. And how would she be like God? That she would know good
and evil.
Evil. Right. Because in his wisdom, did Adam and Eve know good and evil?
I don't think so.
They created with a knowledge of good and evil. Because Satan says, you're going to learn, you're going to be like God because you will know good and evil. And God doesn't want you to be like that. He's hiding something from you. That was his temptation. And it worked. I mean, Eve was like, wow, this is great. I'll be wise like God. That's great. I'll take it. Give it to me.
And I think what they didn't take under consideration is that there are sometimes some things that you really just should not know.
I like to think of it this way. God had told them what evil was, but they had never experienced it. In other words, God said, you must obey me. And here's the rule. Don't eat from that tree under any circumstances. Because if you do, what will happen? You will surely die. Now that was his revelation of evil to them. That there was such a thing as death, which would be the direct opposite of what they had been created to know and to love, which would be life eternal. They were immortal, eternal creatures, like everyone else. And that they knew. But God, I'm sure, warned them, and of angels, I believe, that visited them in the garden, warned them of Satan's presence and to beware of him because he was on the earth. And they didn't heed that warning. They took Satan's word above God's word. Satan started out by saying, did God tell you that you're going to die? You're not going to die. Watch me eat it. He ate it and he doesn't die. And so you're not going to die. And with that, he was then able to go to the next thing, which is, as a matter of fact, you will be as wise as God because you will know good from evil. And so the part that they then learned is evidenced by their response. They ate the fruit, and instantly they recognized their nakedness. They go hide. It was a catastrophe. Their first thought was to hide from God. Why? Because they had done something wrong, bad. They were disobedient. And so again, here were good people, and something bad occurred. All of it points back to Satan. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add in a personal testimony. I remember as a kid, a lot of the friends I used to hang out with in high school used to want to drink all the time. And I was never a drinker. I would never touch alcohol. And they would say to me, well, how do you know, you're not going to like it? You know, why don't you give it a try? Just do it one time. And I would always say, no, you know, it's not for me. So they would say, well, how do you know you don't like it unless you try it? And I think that's the same temptation that Satan tried to get Eve into, because you're assuming that you have to experience something before you can know whether it's good or bad. And, you know, I luckily did refuse the alcohol because There could have been some long-term effects. I mean, there were even friends that I knew that would try drugs. And sometimes they would offer and say, oh, why don't you try it? And I would say no. But the funny thing is, if I had been with them, and let's say the police had raided one of their houses and found us all with drugs, even me being there could have gotten me into some serious trouble, not trying anything.
Precisely.
So it shows us, it's a lesson to us, that there's just certain types of knowledge that you don't need to have, and that you have to trust God to know that there are certain things you don't have to experience.
You know, certainly there's so many examples like that. We often say almost every parent has said to their child at some point, if everybody goes and jumps off the cliff, does that mean you're going to do it too? You know, or do you have to stick your hand in the fire to feel the pain of the flame in order to know that putting your hand in fire is going to burn? Can you just accept that without putting your hand in the fire? And here, though, was someone who apparently, and this is why the Bible says that Satan deceived me. He, in effect, put his hand in the fire, and the fire was the statement that God had made, in the day that thou eat thereof, he will surely die. He took a bite, and he was still alive. And he deceived her. Because Satan, if he sinned, which he did in heaven, and Jesus says, the Bible tells us, the wages of sin is death. There is an automatic consequence to sin, and that is death. And that's why Jesus had to come. He had to intervene, or else all of mankind was doomed. Because of that sin of Adam. And so he intervenes. But before we get to the intervention, the point I'm making here is that the deceit of Satan, he has so many powerful temptations. He got one third of the angels. He did Adam and Eve. Remember Noah. There were only 8 people in the whole world who were found worthy to be saved. Only 8.
Wow.
And we know from Scripture that in the last days, and when Jesus comes again, most of the people on this planet who have ever lived on it will not be saved. It says, is that Scripture about narrow is the gate? And it's going to be...
to be that find it.
That's right. It's only going to be a few that are going to be to go in. Why would all these people give up on perfection and eternity and success? If you ask people, no, they all want to give it to me, but they're being deceived. So, this is one aspect of why bad things happen, that at the root of it all, I'll throw one other thing in, we don't have time to go into it deeply, but when Satan came to this earth, and Adam and Eve sinned, he became, he was in charge of this earth, if you want to look at it like that. God had given Adam and Eve dominion, remember, over the earth. And because of their sin, they lost it to Satan. That's why Satan went to meet with the sons of God, went to heaven, and all that kind of stuff. They used to go back and forth to heaven, and other representatives from other places were there. At any rate, in the end, however, Jesus is victorious by living the perfect life here, dying and being resurrected. And what he did is he died the second death for us. There are 2 deaths. Once there was sin, that first death kicked in. And then the second death happened. And if you look at the Hebrew that talks about death in that scripture there in Genesis, the second death on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, they began the dying process. That instant. Before that, they had perpetual life in them. They were immortal. But when they sinned, the penalty instantly was death. And in Genesis 2:17, in the Hebrew, it reads, "Dying thou shalt die," meaning, I guess, Natalie, there are people who are told, you got a year to live, you got cancer, you're going to die. And it has metastasized to the point where you're incapacitated, but it's a progressive thing. It's going to happen. There are people with pernicious diseases, like pernicious anemia, and it can be debilitating. And there's an outcome that's virtually certain, but we're in the process of doing it. So God's statement to them, dying thou shalt die, is accurate of what he told them, and Satan lied to them. He deceived them, convinced them that God was not telling them. God does rescue us, and it's only he that could, the person of Jesus, and so there will be an end to that. But in the meantime, some rather horrible things occur on a regular basis, day in and day out. We go back to another theme that I wanted to cover, and I think it's really difficult. We're created in God's image. That's back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And it's not just the physical, but it is our morality and our meaning that is in the image of God. And this choice that we have, being created as free moral agents, heard that statement before, the ability to choose was integral. But with choice comes consequence. In other words, Adam and Eve could choose whether or not to eat the fruit. They could choose to be obedient or disobedient. But if they disobeyed, there was a consequence. If they obeyed, there was consequence. Why didn't God intervene? Let's look at it this way. Here's a question for you. If God had said, okay, I know you're really sorry. Do you see what I mean? Let's start again. You can live forever. Would sin have been eliminated? If a father has a child, we'll pick on the guys, has a son who always gets in trouble, and the father keeps coming and bailing him out of jail, out of debt, etc. Let son ever learn? Will he ever produce anything good?
I can tell you as a teacher in the 9th and 10th grade that as long as the students feel that they always have another day to hand in homework, they never get it in on time. Matter of fact, sometimes they wait until the absolute 99th hour when there's a cutoff time before they finally hand in the work. And then when the cutoff time is finally put in place, they say, well, you mean I can't bring it in tomorrow?
I have another one for you. If we were programmed to love, would love be significant? Isn't what makes love significant the fact that we have a choice to love or not to love? You see my meaning? There has to be consequences. If every time you get in trouble, nothing happens. What would this world be like? There would absolutely be no perspective whatsoever. So part of being created in the image of God. Good evening.
Good evening, it's Ashley Booker.
Hey Ashley,
hey.
How's everyone?
I'm good.
Splendid. Great to have you.
Welcome back.
Sophia's on and Natalie's on and Tennessee's on.
Okay, hello.
Yeah, Mr. Williams, you can continue.
So now that we kind of understand that in the image of God means that God has created beings who have the ability to make decisions, and that our decisions will create consequences, now we can get into why bad things happen to good people from a different perspective. The next perspective is how God interacts with the world. Now we're getting down to it. And the first thing that we need to understand is the possibility of evil. For free choice to operate, it has to be evil on the other side. Do you see where I'm going? I'm being philosophic. But it's important to catch.
Yeah, it makes sense, because if you can only choose good, then obviously there's nothing else that you can choose, which is the only reason why you'd be being good.
And therefore you would not be a free moral agent. You would be captive, we would call it, you would be a robot. Are you with me on that, Tennessee?
I am.
Yeah, a robot just basically does what it's programmed to do. If you program a tape recorder to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I mean, does your tape recorder really love you? If it can choose what to say, that makes it the relationship more meaningful. It's kind of like if a husband comes home and just is programmed to give his wife flowers, but there's really no meaning behind the flowers. The love relationship is just really pointless. But when that person can choose to love you or not to love you, then there's more meaning behind that relationship, because that person does not have to be there, but chooses to be there.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And, uh-huh. and God only wants our service out of love. He does not want it conscripted. He doesn't want us to do it as because of the aversiveness. If the reason we don't eat pork is because if you take a mouthful, you get struck by lightning, how many people would eat pork? None. Because we would simply say, you know what? There's a God up there who's striking everybody dead for eating pork. And we're afraid of him, and so we're not going to do that. We don't want to die, so we won't do it. God doesn't want that. And so there has to be the possibility of evil in order for good or choice, let's put it there, to operate. We use a different way. Remember, hello?
Good evening, everyone. My name
is... How are you?
Hi, how are you? My name is Ella.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm glad you got it to work.
Praise God. We're glad to have you, fella. I'm Joseph Williams.
Hi.
And Natalie and Sophia and Ashley and Tennessee are on.
Hello.
And me also.
Hi. And John.
And John. Thanks for inviting me.
No problem.
Now, here's the other thing about the possibility of evil, and I'm going to give some illustrations. You know in Exodus, the story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea? Look at how God sets it up. tells us in Exodus 14:21 that a strong east wind blew all night long. Now, because God left open the possibility for people to say, no, no miracle here, it was a fluke of nature, and the wind split the sea open. Have you ever heard somebody say that?
I actually haven't, but I can imagine
that
people
would. Surely, because there's that possibility of evil. I'm talking about how God interacts with the world. We've covered that sin exists and is the reason for bad things that occur. All the bad that happens is a result of sin. We've laid it at Satan's footsteps. But then we have to come back and say, now, wait a minute, why do these bad things happen to good people? So to begin to understand that, we need to spell out how God interacts with the world. And one of those ways is that we are created in His image and that we have freedom of choice. And with freedom of choice, there are consequences. And also with freedom of choice, there has to be the possibility of evil.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go on to the next one. Now, and you saw what I was saying in that, just before I went there on that, when a person reads in the Word of God, that the Lord performed a miracle. You look in Exodus 14, also the people were afraid when they saw the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. They're crying and complaining, and God says, be quiet, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And then, verse 21 talks about that there was this strong wind that blew all night long. And so it leaves an opportunity for some people to say, no, you know what, there was no miracle. All right, going back to the second thing, God's intervention.
I wanted to throw out a question there. Why do you think that God leaves opportunity for people to doubt? I mean, we see so many examples of miracles. Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead. We see God traveling as a pillar by fire, God leading the children of Israel by a cloud, parting the Red Sea, so many different things that He did. But yet there was still opportunity, if one wanted it, to doubt.
I think that goes back to your question that God gives us freedom of choice. And in that freedom of choice, there's always going to be a question of, is this what I should believe? Am I 100% sure?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean?
I agree. And I would also add to that God leaves us room to doubt, to say that we don't have to believe in Him if we choose not to. Of course, then there are consequences if one chooses not to believe in God, but He does not force us to believe in Him or to trust Him.
Absolutely. Because if you think about if God didn't
James.
Leave those little openings.
Welcome, James.
How you doing, James?
Joseph Williams, and
hi, Joe. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I can't hear everybody at one time.
There's Natalie, there's Tennessee, there's Sophia, there's Ashley.
Della, New York.
Della.
Hi, everybody. It's like a room full of girls over here.
Matt?
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right. James, just to kind of recap, we were talking about the subject of why bad things happen to good people. But before we get into the heart of that subject, what we're discussing is how God gives His people a freedom of choice, meaning that God does not force anybody to believe in Him. And a lot of times there are not direct punishments when we choose not to believe in Him. He always gives us this freedom of choice. So the question that I posed was, why does God always leave room to doubt? And the answer was that he's not going to force us to believe in him or to follow him. So he leaves us a window of opportunity where if we choose not to believe in him, we have that option. And Adele was going to add to that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, that the accuser of the brethren, which is, who is Satan, always wants to accuse God of making things too easy for us and protecting us. And I think, in a sense, he wants to accuse God of making things too plain. Oh, well, of course, God, they would know that you did that. I mean, look how miraculously you did that. But when he puts that...